The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Peter, happy Friday.
Namaste Friday.
Namaste Friday. That's how we should start.
And what a fabulous day it is.
Sun shining. This means good stuff. When the sun shines, I shine, I've decided.
Is that right, yeah?
Well, I've always said this, actually, and this is truthful. I'm a really good girlfriend in summer, but in winter, I wouldn't date me.
Really?
Yeah, I would not bother.
Haven't you just got yourself a boyfriend during winter?
Somehow.
And he's still with you, so now he's going to get the good CC.
Well, I think it was more desperation. I think he was desperate through lockdown, and then here I am, and that's just why, because I don't know why anyone would be with me during winter and a lockdown. It's not fun.
CC, are you saying that he's there through lack of options?
Dear, poor boy.
Yeah, I mean, no. It's understandable, but...
Anyway, this is FUBAR Radio. My name is Cece Coleman.
My name is Pete Wicks.
And this is The Dating Show. This is something we do every week. And we namaste, we wave our arms.
And we just have fun. We just get excited and talk shit, don't we?
I know, absolutely. What are we going to talk shit about this week?
This week, we've got a very interesting subject. Our subject is first impressions.
Love it.
And we've got one of my very, very, very good friends as a guest, Anna Williamson from Celebs Go Dating.
I can't wait to meet her.
She is the fucking dream, CC, I'm telling you.
Amazing. I bet she's got some nice little words of wisdom for you.
I'm a little bit worried about this because she knows me really well and she knows a lot about me. So I just hope that she doesn't just reveal how much of a wanker I really am.
Have you had a little pre-chat and said to her, please don't bring up this?
Do you know what? I haven't had time, so no, I haven't. So she isn't aware of that.
It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. And we've also got Love the Way You Lie and these questions as always. So shall we kick off as we always kick off?
Yeah, let's start with our weird and wonderful dating news. I'm going to start with the woman who was gobsmacked as her boyfriend sent a spreadsheet of costs of their romantic getaway. So a woman was left stunned after her boyfriend sent her a spreadsheet of everything she owed him ahead of their romantic weekend away. Since making their relationship official, she always insisted on paying half on dates, particularly as they both earned decent salaries. But when they booked their first weekend away, he took it one step too far, and she said red flags started to show. I mean, Pete, have you ever sent someone a spreadsheet of what they owe you?
I'll be honest with you. You reading that out to me made me feel physically sick.
Good. I agree. I like it.
Listen, I'm all for... I think I've said it before. I'm generally one of them people that was brought up in a way that men generally should pay for certain things. Not because women can't. I was just brought up that kind of way. If you're going on a romantic getaway, then I, as a man, would want to pay for that. However, I do understand it's a completely different world these days and people like to do things equally and all that sort of stuff, which I think is great. Not via a fucking spreadsheet, though.
Well, what if your monthly salary, you know, you'd allocated it, this is how much you pay your rent, your mortgage, this is how much some food, and you've got a little bit left, right, and you really want to treat that person, but you simply don't have the money. How do you go about it then?
Do you know what? I don't know. I genuinely think that you can treat someone for cheap. You don't have to be do big gestures and do all that sort of stuff. As long as you make something romantic gestures are all about thought, aren't they? It's not about how much money you spend. And I think if you think outside the box, then there's always things you can do.
True.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not the most romantic person in the world, if I'm honest. And
you? Oh, that's sure. I thought you, that wasn't even me taking the piss out of you either. That was genuine. That was genuine shock. Oh, yeah, you come across quite considerate and romantic.
I'm very generous and considerate and all that sort of stuff. But when it comes to what I would consider proper romantic gestures, I've not really been in a relationship long enough to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I've done weekends away and different things, and I've surprised people with, you know, I've made a scrapbook for someone before.
That's lovely.
So that's a cheap thing to do. That's a romantic gesture, isn't it?
What did you put in this scrapbook?
It was for an ex who had been on a trip of a lifetime, basically, and she'd sent me loads of different photos from it and all this sort of stuff. And when she got back, I'd made a scrapbook for her of her time and her memories. So it was all pictures of her trip and all that sort of stuff. And then I'd basically done it like, this is part of a chapter of life, and then left it with a bit at the end, which is going to be on to our next chapter.
Pete Wiggs, listen to you. Look at that heart pumping out of your chest.
Yeah, I mean, it went really well until we split up and she burnt the book.
Okay, good. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Very cute. That you get 10 gold stars for that. That's effort, not only romance, but that's effort to do that. I like it.
So for me, I think romantic gestures, you don't have to spend a lot of money. So if you are in a position where you are then putting spreadsheets, I think it takes all the romance out of it. Romantic gestures, I think, should stay romantic. And when you have to discuss how much someone's doing,
it kills it.
It kills the whole thing. If you want to be romantic and enjoy being romantic and take it in turns maybe, or, you know, like I said, you don't have to do expensive things. Just be cute.
I agree with you, Pete. I agree. Should we move on to our next story?
So this is the Welsh language dating app for men with small penises attracts thousands of members worldwide. So if you've got a little dick and you think, listen, there's no hope because there's, you know, I can't find a lady who I can touch the sides with, then there is an app where you can find basically people who are after blokes with little dicks.
Amazing. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that love a little chode, love a little poke. It doesn't need to be, you know, I'm sure that there's always something for everyone, isn't there? And this particular Welsh app, this dating app, I'd like to know what it's called, actually. Not that I'm into that, but, you know, it'd be good to understand.
Little Dicks Are Us.
Little Dicks Are Us.
The guy that's created it has actually produced a number of different dating sites, some for gamers, you know, for the people that play COD and all them sort of stuff. Old geezers, the ones who have, who lack in the hair department. And women as well, transgender people, and people who are attracted to extreme age gaps.
Interesting. I mean, there is a market for it, isn't there? Because everyone's different, everyone is unique. So yeah. If you have a tiny little penis, there is an app for you.
And if you're tiny, bald, love to game, and are looking for a really, really old lady, then you can get on all four apps and you cover all bases. So, listen, it's fucking fabulous. In fact, I do know what it's called.
Go on.
Oh, God, it's actually worse than Tiny Dicks Are Us.
Go on.
So the Small Penis Dating Site, which was launched on the cusp of the pandemic last March and has since attracted 118,000 members across the world, is called Dinky One.
Oh, wow. Do you think then, when you're going on there, are you just fully just accepting this is it? This is what I've got. It's tiny and this is it. Or is it like, I just dip my toes in?
I'd love to know how you qualify for that. I mean...
Good question.
How small do you have to be?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? What is small? What is
small?
PC, tell us what you think a small dick is.
Oh, you cannot ask me that. You really can't, because I'm about to insult the whole of my sexual book.
Listen, Cece, babe, this is the circle of trust. I've said it before. Tell myself and the FUBAR listeners what Cece considers to be a tiny dick. What's a dinky one for you?
What I will say is that I've never measured a willy. And so when men say, I've got a 10-foot fucking massive wanger, I think...
I haven't trained you up before, have I?
I just think, I have no... That really doesn't mean anything to me. Measurements, it doesn't... I don't really go by that. I go by looks. So I'll have a little look and then I'll make a decision from there. And then obviously, you know, that's it. I'm not going to go any further with this conversation. That's all.
Okay. I mean, listen, I love that. I mean, just out of interest, and the most, interesting part for me is that it's a Welsh language speaking dating site. And the reason he's done that is because the majority of the people that have signed up to this are from Wales.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
Men in Wales. Get yourself on Amazon and buy yourself a cock pump.
Pete, does that work? Have you ever tried a cock pump?
I don't need to because I've got a 10-foot wanger. No, I've never tried it. And I would like to think that I don't need to, but also, I mean, maybe I do need to, I don't know. But I just don't like the idea of pumping my penis.
I'd be interested to see how that works. I really would. Anywho.
I'll tell you what, after this, CC, once we've finished the show, what we'll do is we'll get on Google together.
Right.
And we'll see if we can find a dick pump video.
I bet there is one. I bet, and then we can bring it up next week. Next Friday, that'll be our chat. How do we get on with the dick pump?
Okay. Again, you are listening to Food Bar Radio, where we're talking small dicks and dick pumps. But it is what it is, eh?
So, on to our topic of first impressions. My God, this is such a juicy subject because it covers a lot. So if we take it to dating in particular, Pete, what would you say in how quickly do you sum up someone's sum them up in your first impression?
3:33. Three seconds is how long it takes to create a subconscious attraction to someone. Mm-hmm. 30 seconds is then whether you find their initial conversation interesting, and the 3 minutes after is whether you decipher whether or not that is someone that you want to spend more time with. That's how quickly a first impression is. 3:33.
Very interesting.
That's what I've always been told. I feel like my first impression of other people is generally quite right.
Yeah, I agree, actually. I think mine genuinely is, but I think I would know under 3 minutes if I wanted to spend more time with that person for sure.
Yeah, 100%. So I kind of live and die by that. But 55% of a person's opinion is generally determined by physical appearance, which, as much as people say this and you can fall in love with someone's personality and all that sort of stuff, which I do completely agree with, there does need to be an attraction in the first place. And I 100% stand by that.
Someone's gesture, I think there was another... Yeah, 93% of people's judgments are based on non-verbal input, like body language.
Massive. 100%.
Someone could, I remember going on a date with a guy who everything was perfect. He was a 9 out of 10. He was very lovely. From a distance, he had a nice gesture. But then he opened his mouth and his voice did not suit, I felt, like what he was presenting. And it put me off a little bit. It did put me off, actually, which is really weird because, who knows what your voice sounds like? I think I know what my voice sounds like, but actually to you, it might sound completely different.
I think you've got a fabulous voice, Cece.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Pete. I feel bad for the guy I've just completely dissed now, but...
It's all right. It's not as bad as the other one you dissed for having a small dick. I think shit voice is probably happy, unless it's the same bloke who's got shit voice and a small dick, in which case he's had a really shit Friday.
Oh, God.
So who we've got, basically, we've got Anna Williamson, who is, she's a TV star. She's best known for providing her dating expertise on Celebs Go Dating. She's an author. She's got a great podcast with Louisa Zisman.
Yeah.
Just an all-round beautiful person.
Oh, let's get her on. Let's do this. Welcome. We need a drum roll, I feel like. We're ting.
We're not doing music anymore.
No singing anymore.
No singing. We're not allowed.
Next time.
Hi, guys.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Oh, and there he is, little P-dubs. Hello, gorgeous.
Hello, you beautiful lady. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. I'm well. The sun is shining, guys. You know what? It's all good.
Beautiful.
I've missed you, Pete. I've missed you. And also, Cece, I love you as well. I mean, Pete and we are just,
Pete and I've heard wonderful things. Pete has been speaking so highly of you. So I was very excited because I could feel the excitement coming from Pete.
And that's not often, is it, that you get that from Pete?
Wow.
What excitement? Oh, you haven't been talking to my exes again, have you? right, so Anna.
Yes, darling.
This week, our topic is first impressions.
Oh.
Yes. Oh.
So we've just been discussing first impressions. It's specifically to do with dating. So what is your, or how important do you think first impression is on a date? First time you meet someone, how important is that first impression?
Well, you will know this, Pete, because you've been through the agency not once, but twice. And I, you know what, I reckon, is there a little third time in there for you?
Third time lucky, babe, you never know.
I mean, I think we need to make that happen, quite frankly. You will know as well, but it is really important. First impressions are everything, aren't they? And I think if you think about anyone you meet in life, I mean, this is my first impression now of meeting you, Cece, you know, and I can see there, most beautiful woman that's well turned out, makes an effort.
Thank you.
You are welcome. I'm not even going to lie, I've put a little bit of Mazzy on, I've brushed my hair. To be fair, ignore the rest of my back room in my house because I've just realised the toot that is lying around in the background. So I have made an effort, but my first impression probably isn't doing me very well. But it is really important, isn't it? Because, and you all know this, Pete, you're a well-turned-out gentleman. You know that. I would never dream of you going out on a date looking a scruff bag. You always smell good. And that's really important because in that moment, that's all you've got to go on is that first impression. Do they look good? Do they smell good? What am I getting from them? Are they smiling? If you're being a miserable ass, that's also not going to go down very well. So yeah, it's everything, first impressions.
I love that as well, the smell. Do you know what that is? I forget about that because I always think visual, what's going on in front of me. But smell is so goddamn important. I feel like I can tell a story by their smell. You know,
right?
Sounds a bit like weird, but you know, if you can smell like, oh, they've just been and they've just had some salmon, probably should clean your teeth, probably should have had some chewing gum. Do you know what I mean? Like, but
it's not going to go well, is it? No, smell is, I mean, you'll know this as well, Pete, because I know you're into NLP like I am. And NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, it very much operates on the five senses. But yeah, senses are everything because that is how we take in and we filter all of the information. And I'm the same as you. You know, it's like, and I'm not just saying this to blow smoke up Pete's ass, but Pete does smell great. He always smells great. And that's really important because when you smell someone, you go, oh, I like that cologne. Oh, you know, straight away, you are engaged in that person and you are drawn to them, not repelled. And you're right. If someone, I've been on a date, remember years ago, and exactly that, the dude I met had obviously been eating fish or something before. And honestly, if I could have an erection and a penis, which I haven't, it would have been inverted.
Because
it just, if I'm with sensory smells are everything, aren't they? And pheromones. Mm-hmm. I like the smell of my sweaty husband. I'm sure most people find that repulsive, but I quite like that smell. And that's just his smell, and I find that quite masculine. But yeah, fish man, not a good look.
You said it there, Radha. It's about engagement, isn't it? And first impressions. The whole point of a first impression is for someone to want to engage with the person in front of them. So it's anything you can do that will make someone want to engage with you. Smell is one of the most important things for me as well. I 100% think it's what I don't understand people that don't pick up on them things. Like you say, a lot of people forget about it. It's kind of like the sense that no one really remembers until they actually smell something.
And I think that's going to be really important as we come out of this lockdown and we start meeting people again face to face and dating, because
you forgot the smells.
Did you wash?
We've forgotten. But it's true. But it's, I mean, and I'll be guilty of it, you know. I mean, I'm delighted to say I have washed, actually got perfume on today because I've been out. But you know, we've all been guilty, but I know I have been. Think, oh, I'm on a Zoom call, I'm on a Zoom meeting. I might be a bit, you know, kiffy because I've just had a workout and I haven't bothered having a shower.
Anna, did you just say kiffy?
Kiffy, yeah.
Call Is that a fucking word? Kiffy?
Like that? Never heard it before.
Have you just made that up?
To be fair, I think I just made that up.
Anna, I've been sitting here saying how intelligent and wonderful you are, and you're coming on making up words like fucking kiffy. Fucking kiffy.
Actually, who was from Essex used to go, oh, that kiffs, isn't that a word?
Listen, I wouldn't trust anything anyone says from Essex, let's be honest. So if you make a bad first impression on a date, is there anything you can do to turn that around? Or do you think that is something that creates a lasting impression in someone's head?
I think it creates a lasting impression in someone's head. Yeah, I think first impressions are absolutely everything. That's why it's so important with job interviews and meeting your other half's parents or family for the first time. You know, dating in particular, it is all about first impressions, and you do have to be really mindful of it. And it can be a bit exhausting if you're in a dating game to be really mindful every time you're going on a date, because what if this is the one I let the ball drop and it could be the person that I'm you know into.
Do you know what I find weird though is when it comes to like you say, letting the ball drop, I, no matter who I'm meeting, whether it be a date or whether it be going to work or going to the shop, I'm always conscious of the first impression I give.
Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, of course I am, because I'm representing myself and I want I always, I don't know how to describe it, but I want to give the best representation of myself to anyone I meet. And I think that's a really important trait for people to have. Because if you don't do that and you just don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what do you give a shit about?
Well, you'd always be left with that lasting impression, won't you? Until someone does something to perhaps change your mind. So interestingly, actually, I don't think I've ever brought it up with her, but I might do if I see her. But my first impression years ago, but this is a great example of first impressions can stick.
I know exactly who you're going to say.
Who?
Louisa.
No, actually. I'm not going to say Louisa. Fun enough, Louisa. She is a good example, actually. Yeah, she is a good example, because the first time I met Louisa, who we do Luana the podcast together, obviously, as you know, and we are chalk and cheese. But actually, you know, I will always bang on about values, guys. We share so many values. We're very different in a lot of ways. She has zero morals, after all, and I have a lot. But we are actually really, really aligned when it comes to our like family values and all kinds of things. But yeah, when I first met her, my first impression of her was, oh, wow, she's direct, like really direct. We were both pregnant, heavily pregnant at the same time. And I think she likened me to a bit of a whale. And we have a really good sense of humor. But actually, she is the most sweet, kind hearted, most wonderful woman I've ever had the privilege to call my friend. But no, I was going to mention, actually, and I've never brought it up with her, especially she came into the agency in your first year with me, Pete, Kerry Katona. So I don't know why I went Australia, but
Kerry Katona.
Kerry Katona, but Kerry, who I have got bags of time for, like love Kerry, always having a little message with Kez. But when I first met Kerry, when I was way back in the day, I was 17 years old and a kids TV presenter. I interviewed her when she was an Atomic Kitten. She was the same age as me. And, you know, she's been a bit of a gobby cow. And I remember at the time thinking, and you know, it's like a bit of the camaraderie. All the girls are rubbing each other up the wrong way. And I do remember coming away from that interview thinking, oh, I thought they were all a bit offish. But that first impression lasted with me until 18 years later, when she comes into the agency and you go, wow, gosh, that's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And so it is really, really important to have those first impressions. Someone else with a first impression, James Corden, who I've met. I don't know what you guys think of James Corden. Pete, you're making a face. Right, exactly. So Pete, everyone's, oh, James Corden's amazing, James Corden. Now, I would say this to his face. The one and only time I've met James Corden, he was a massive bellend and he was really fucking rude to me, excuse my language. So that is my lasting impression of James Corden. I don't care how funny he is on the telly. I think he's a bellend until he proved me otherwise because he was rude to me.
Who would ever
be? Anna.
Exactly. Yes, my darling.
What is your or was your first impression of Mr. Pete Wicks?
Oh, do you know what? I've got to go.
No, you bloody have not. you keep that ass there, boyo. So when I met Pete, that is a great question. But I remember it really well.
Have I really put you on the spot here?
I will unapologetically say, and Pete knows this, I have nothing but amazing things to say about Pete. I adore him. When I first met him, we were in the agency, do you remember, Pete? And I was sitting next to you, I think, and it was Paul and I, and then you were there. And I remember looking at you thinking, ooh, this guy uses his eyes a lot, is what I thought, first of all. I thought, this guy talks with his eyes an awful lot. And I thought to myself, there is so much more to this shagger than meets the eye. I mean, a terrific shagger in there, I'm sure. I wouldn't know personally, just to make that very clear.
Yeah, fuck you, Neil. That's the headline I need right now.
Oh, shit.
Well, I've seen a few headlines, darling. I haven't.
Oh, let's forget about it.
Okay, fine. But anyway, when I met Pete, I did think this is an incredibly charismatic man that is clearly aesthetically extremely pleasing. He knows how to utilise that, but I genuinely could tell from the straightaway that this was a very decent human being that has grafted and has a heart of gold. And you know you do, Pete. No one champions you more than I do, and your mum.
How lovely is that, Pete? How do you feel, Pete Wicks? How do you feel?
Where are you going to send the invoice for that, Anna?
I send it to your mum. I send it to Trace.
Yeah, send it to Trace. No, yeah. Do you know what? I think Celebs Go Dating is a really... In fact, it's same for you, Cece. Both of you, actually. You both witnessed dates. Mm. Right? So you witness the meeting of people for the first time. So as an outsider watching people meet for the first time and first impressions, what do you think people do wrong the most when it comes to a first impression? Does that make sense? You both
see people
on dates all the time. Cece, you see it all the time in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Anna on Celebs Go Dating. Mm. So watching people meet for the first time, you get to see that. What do you think, why have they done that? What is the most common thing people do on a first impression that you think, why the fuck are you doing that?
Anna, do you want to go and then I'll...
Yeah. I don't know if you'd agree with me or not, Cece, but I think it's being mindful of those natural nerves that you get and then the body language that comes with that. And it's when you see people a bit jittery, a bit stumbly, they're not sure if they go in for a kiss or a handshake or an awkward hug, or you graze an ear. I mean, that's happened to me many a time. I think it's the conviction of owning that. And I think if you either, and you're great at it, Pete, you're skilled at it. You own it because you go in with full confidence when you meet someone, you put them at ease straight away because you are comfortable and confident with who you are. You know how to greet people. And I think for me, it's when that lack of confidence and that nervousness is really obvious and really transparent. And if you're feeling awkward and nervous, the other person's going to feel awkward and nervous.
Yeah.
And now I'm not saying you have to be, you know, everyone's human. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly normal to feel nervous, but I think it's sometimes just being able to own that and not kind of stumbling in on an awkward kiss or a hug. If actually the best thing to do would be just to kind of pause it a little bit to start with and just be, hey, nice to meet you, without thinking, shit, do I go in for one, two kisses, no kiss? You know, it's that. It's conviction.
What about you, Cece?
Well, I guess with first dates is the first bit, is for me the favorite part of the whole show, is, you know, someone's at the bar looking and you literally see them go, oh shit, like it's about to happen. And then that other person's like, shit, is that my date? And for me, that moment, I think what happens is everybody tends to overthink. So they're like, right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to plan so that this happens. But that all goes out the window because you see someone, you're like, oh shit, this is actually really happening. And that moment of whatever it is, blips in, half snog, chew, like, you know, it's just amazing. And I just think, if you're going to do that, like you said, and own it. And, you know, if you fucked it. Never mind. Like, give that awkward hug and just say, I'm really nervous, I'm so sorry. I've 100% given a weird hug before, or a nod, you know, like a grope or something that just don't, like, you know.
We've all done it.
And do you know what? One of my favourite things, and I think I've said this to you before, Anna, is meeting new people. I absolutely love meeting new people.
You're brilliant at it.
It's one of my favourite things because I just find it so fascinating that how much you can learn about someone very quickly from body language, from eye contact, from all that sort of stuff. I just absolutely love it. Celebs Go Dating has got this amazing part called The Mixers, which is my favourite part of the show. I fucking loved it every time
really?
I do it. Oh, everyone hates it, don't they, Anna? I don't know why.
Everyone
hates it. They shit themselves. So if you're a single guy, you basically walk into a room full of single women. And if you're a single girl, you walk into a room full of single guys. And everyone just shits themselves about it. And it's my favourite bit, without a shadow of a doubt. Because all you're doing is creating the first impression with everyone in the room at the same time.
And you're the best at it. You are the best at it. Always have been. Paul and I always say it. You are the best person to go into a room because you just own it.
But I think
so you go in directly and you go to the person, Pete. You don't wait for them to come to you. You'll go over and see someone and...
Yeah, but... But I think that's just a genuine, inquisitive part of me that wants to know about people. I want to know about everyone there. So I think that's important. I think it's really important when you create a first impression to actually be engaging for someone to engage with.
And Cece, honestly, it's an incredible... If we get Pete back again for a third time, please come down. Come down and join Paul and I. But watching Pete in operation, Paul and I say this again and again. And I think Paul and I recently discovered we've done over 100 episodes of Celebs now, 5-6 series now together.
Wow.
But to date, and I'm not just saying this because I'm doing your show... Paul and I were literally, and this is coming from Paul, who is one of the world's best matchmakers, does it even more than I do, goes into these scenarios. We were literally jaw-dropping when you see how a room reacts to when Pete walks into it. And it's because, and we've actually...
I knew there was a reason we got you on.
But it is, honestly, Cece, it's extraordinary. There is this, because of the way you hold yourself and you engage eye contact, everyone that's in there, you make everyone feel special. And everyone gravitates to you and wants to talk to you. And honestly, Paul and I always say, Pete in a mixer, it's dynamite.
Do you know what, Pete, I actually feel happy for you. Like, hearing Anna say that, that's such a lovely compliment. Take the compliment, enjoy it. I can see you trying to shy away from it, but enjoy that. That's amazing.
I can't
buy that.
No,
it's
you can't.
Natural.
Well, you say you can't buy that. I'll find out after this fucking show. But yeah, I can only see it from my point of view in terms of the fact that I enjoy doing that. I enjoy them sort of things. Where it gets a bit funny for me is later down the line. But a lot of people struggle with the first impression part, don't they? A lot of people that come into the agency for you, Anna, and you will have seen a lot of it on first dates as well, Cece, is people struggle with that first impression part. And I don't know, is there anything that you can say to people to help them, like tips on first impressions? Does that make sense? Like what are tips? I mean, you can't just tell someone to be confident because some people just aren't, are they? And I think confidence is probably one of the most important parts of first impressions. Would you agree? And if you haven't got that, then first impressions are a fucking nightmare, aren't they?
Yes, but at the same time, don't underestimate how completely alluring and attractive someone that is quite bashful and can feel. I mean, my other, even though I actually met my other half, yeah, Pete.
No.
Or you obviously see, I'm sure you will. But he is. I'm very sort of confident and, well, I'm extrovert, but actually introvert as well. My husband hates, he gets socially anxious. He's quiet. He absolutely, his worst thing is being my plus one at a work do. Like, honestly, hates it, which is why I normally go with Louisa now. But he hates it, unless it's something really special. But he is quite happy to be the coat and bag holder if I'm trotting up a carpet or something. He hates it. Not because he's a diva, he just doesn't really, he's not very good in a group situation, and that's okay. My husband, for example, is brilliant one-to-one. He's excellent one-to-one. I would say I'm probably better in a group situation. I quite like to hold court and, you know, bounce off lots of different people, have a bit of a banter and a, you know. And I think it's just owning what your personality type is. So if you are going into a dating scenario and you are more of an introvert, that's okay. Just find out what works for you. And maybe that is just quietly scanning the room from a distance to start with, seeing if there is one person that perhaps catches your eye, and being and just having that and knowing that they're in the same boat as you, and just going over to that one person and starting a conversation, suggesting you have a drink or starting off with a small talk that way. A lot of people find it's very unusual, Pete, for someone like yourself who's amazing at it. That's why every single other celebrity shits their pants, because the minute you walk into a room, it's really, really daunting, really daunting.
One of the things that I always remember from you and Paul always telling me is to be authentic, be authentically yourself. Right. And I think what you've said there, I think when people have first impressions, being yourself is probably the most important part of the whole thing, isn't it? It's trying to be something you're not when you first meet someone is a fucking nightmare. And a lot of people,
it's tiring.
But it's tiring. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people try and be what they expect or what they want other people to see and what they want, what they think people will like, and that becomes quite see-through after a certain amount of time, doesn't it?
Well, you can't keep it up, can
yeah.
you? And that's why I think sort of reality shows such as Big Brother, which no longer exists, you know, are really quite interesting, or Love Island, stuff like that, because you see someone start to become themselves, you know, and actually let down that guard and let down that mask. And we all put up a bit of a mask, you know, we all put up a slight sort of wall of, you know, this is how we want to be perceived. But actually, if you think about it, if no one's being authentic, then no one has a bloody clue who anybody is. And we're all just sort of wallowing around in this swamp, not really knowing who anybody is. And it sort of it kind of lead by example. The more authentic that you are, the more confidence you have to being your true self, you know, whatever you're into, likes, dislikes, you will always find someone that will gravitate towards you and match that. You know, it's like, you know, just because I like cooking a roast dinner on a Sunday, listening to Elaine Page Musicals Hour on BBC Radio 2, is that for everyone? Probably not. But if I was on the dating scene, there would be someone that would find that attractive. So I think people have a tendency to try and measure themselves against others. And who the hell are these others? No one actually knows. Just be confident. And, you know, if you like hiking at the weekend and going canoeing, or you want to go clubbing 24/7, that's fine. But just if you own it, you will attract someone that also values the same things.
I think it's important for people to accept parts of their personalities that they like you say, being shy or being a bit bashful or being socially awkward or being whatever else. It's okay to be like that if that's genuinely who you are. And mm-hmm. I think even that, like you said, actually creates quite a nice first impression. Because if that's, you instantly get a feel of what someone's like. I know if I meet people or I can tell they're a bit nervous or whatever else, it draws me to them because I want to protect them, or I want to help.
Well, you're a nurturer. So, yeah, you naturally are attracted to that. Well, I'm the same as well. I mean, I'm a right gobshite, but actually, do I want to be married to one? No, I don't. Mm. And so when I met my husband, even though we met through work, actually, initially, but I actually loved the fact that he was a real dark horse. You know, I mean, my God, I had to sort of prize that tin open to kind of find out more about him. And I found that really alluring. You know, I've got plenty of friends and people around me that are gobshites like me. But it was really Pete. But it was quite nice to really get to know someone who was the complete opposite. And I found that quite attractive. But I know that he would say in our earlier days, you know, he perhaps thought I might not have found that attractive. But I think that's the thing, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder and all that. And I think it's really true. I mean, like you say, Pete, you love to nurture. And I think, yeah, it's just really important to be able to hold on to and just own who you are. And just because someone will find that really attractive.
Mm. I also think as well, I mean, this is from me going on lots of different dates and dating lots of different men. It's really frustrating when you waste your time. Mm. So when you're with someone who you think is brilliant and you're like, oh my God, I've met my dream man. And 2 months in, you know, the cracks start to show and you think, oh, well, you this is not who you presented yourself as. And then you're playing this game of like, who is this person? And then you're living in the past going, well, I want you to be how you were, you know, right at the start. And you just waste everyone's time. And I know it's hard to be, I mean, I certainly, in my 20s was a twat and I would turn up thinking, you know, I was Billy Big Bollocks, I'm the amazing. And then I started to get, you know, more comfortable and just thought, fuck it, this is who I am. You know, it's yay or nay. But I know that takes time to get to, or maybe age, maturity, whatever. But I think that would be, if anything, I would say work towards that goal, because there is nothing worse than wasting time, you know, thinking you're with someone who isn't the person that they turned up on date one as.
Do you know what, Cece? I'm going to turn this a little bit. The first time I met you.
Oh.
My first impression of you. So me and Cece met on first dates. I did First Dates Hotel, celebrity one. What was it, 3 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
Was it three years ago?
Yeah.
So we was out in Naples, and the first time I met Cece, because you weren't serving my table, were you? So I'd met you at Brand the Pole?
At the bar, yeah.
At the bar. And you were completely different to how I imagined you to be. My first impression of you.
Interesting.
So I'd only seen you on TV before. So even first impressions on TV, I think, can be really deceptive, because people, when they see, you know, the three of us on TV, will create a first impression based on what they're seeing on the TV.
Always.
And that, I think, is absolute bollocks. I think it's very hard to create a good first impression on TV, because you never really...
100%.
You're not in control of it. So
you're
first
at the mercy of the edit.
You're completely. So you can't judge people on that. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people do, because they sit there and read it. And that's why people, I can't stand this person, I hate this person. You've never fucking met them, so you don't really know them, so it doesn't
really
count.
Exactly.
But my first impression of you was that you were going to be a bit stuck up.
I hear this all the time.
When this is from TV. And that's not because... you don't come across wonderful, because you're the best part of First Dates. You and Fred are the fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
But we come from very different backgrounds. And I just thought, she's going to fucking hate me. I just know already she's going to think. And instantly, you're completely different to what I thought, because you're so easy to talk to. And you've got like a wild side, which I never expected. So your first impression...
It's all coming out on FUBA, my wild side. Thanks, Pete.
No. But your first impression physically meeting you was so much better than what I assumed you were going to be.
Oh, thank you very much. But do you know what? I think, like you just said, Anna, you are at the mercy of the edit. So... I get that a lot because, you know, I'm from Oxford. People think that I'm posh. I moved to London and now I've got this weird twang. So it's like, is she posh? Is she a twat? You know, what? And no one really knows where to place me. And do you know what? I'm okay with it. I quite like changing people's opinions. I just go with it now.
I think what's important when it comes to first impressions, Anna, Anna, everyone loves you, Anna. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, stop, they don't.
No, they do. Oh,
sod off, Anna. You must be joking. I don't think I've ever seen anything bad. My
no, you're very sweet.
My first impression on TV is everyone fucking hates me.
No, they don't.
But that, I don't really give that much of a monkeys about. What would disappoint me was if someone had met me and still thought I was a wanker.
Yeah.
Fair.
Does that make sense?
Fair. You've got it the right way around then, because if people think that, but it's the complete opposite. You'd, I'm sure, agree with me, Cece. I mean, I'm blowing smoke up your ass, but you're one of the most wonderful human beings I've ever had the privilege to meet. You're smart, intelligent. There's so much about you. And everybody that meets you, everyone that meets you, I know of, says, oh, my God, I love Pete Wicks. Mm-hmm. When they get to know you.
Favourite part of this is watching Anna compliment you, Pete, and you can't take it. It's just so wonderful. It's so beautiful, isn't it, every time he does it, I have to take that compliment every fucking time, right?
One of the worst parts about doing Celebs Go Dating is having a fucking deep dive with her and Paul, right? So I like it. I basically prefer it when people are horrible to me. Find that really easy to deal with. When people are nice to me,
it's your comfort blanket, that.
I don't know what to do. But let's not start on that one, for fuck's sake. All right? This isn't a therapy session again. Right, so first impressions, little roundup of this then. Be yourself, I think, is where we got to on this, isn't it? Whether that means you're loud, whether that means you're quiet, accept your own flaws and accept your own personality and go with that. Own it.
Because whoever you are, someone will wonderfully fall in love with that. And they need to fall in love with you.
And that is one of the beautiful things. It's so true. And it's one of the most beautiful things about us is you are the only person in the world. Paul said it the other day, tweeted it the other day. Did he not? I can't remember exactly what he said.
He's always got some wisdom he's tweeting out.
Something like, there's 7 billion people in the world, but there is no one else like you. You are unique.
That's it. Yeah, I did see that.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So, Anna, I absolutely love you. We're going to play a game now.
Oh, yeah, bring this on.
Game time.
So, Cece, tell us about the game.
So, game is, you're going to tell us 3 stories, please. One of those stories is going to be a lie, and it's for Pete and I to guess which one. So if you tell all 3 stories, and then we're allowed 1 question each per story.
I'm just going to let you know that Cece is the reigning champ of this. I don't think I've got 1 week right. So
I've also just gone really nervous about this as well, and I don't know why.
You should be, because Cece's like Sherlock fucking Holmes.
I'm like that. I'm watching every day. I'm not.
A really crap liar. You'll suss me out straight away, Cece. So is it 2 truths, 1 lie?
Yes.
Okay.
Story 1.
Okay. Well, it's not really a story. It's more like sentences. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
I just thought I'd keep it short and pithy, but you can ask me. Okay, so statement 1. Zac Efron once asked me for my phone number.
Okay.
Statement 2. I dated a famous international rugby player, but I didn't have any clue who he was.
Okay.
These are great already. Go on.
And statement 3. I once said my ex's name during sex with someone else.
Oh, haven't we all?
Cece, do you know what I love about this? And I knew I could rely on you, Anna. This is how the game was supposed to be for the past 8 weeks, but everyone else has given us 10 minute long stories for each one.
And we're like, trying to keep up with the whole bloody thing.
Yeah, by the time it's finished, I've forgotten what they fucking was. Right, so...
Well, I've just reined it back in and rebranded it for you.
Thank you.
Zac Efron. Cece, question about Zac Efron.
I don't. It was so short and sweet. I don't have questions.
Okay, my question, Anna, for Zac Efron is, where did you meet him?
It was in a hotel, and I was doing a press junket with him, and it was after the press junket.
Okay. Story 2, rugby player who you didn't know who it was. Cece, any questions?
Mm-hmm. How did you find out?
That everybody else around me, their jaw dropped when I said I was dating him.
My question is, who did he play for?
As in,
for?
They all knew who he was and I didn't.
Okay.
My question is, who England. Did he play for? He played for England. What about club team?
Oh, okay.
Bath.
Okay.
Questions? I don't even know what that means.
Question 3.
What was your ex's name?
Andrew.
You're a better liar than I thought you were going to be, Anna.
I know, it's annoying me.
Okay, how long ago was that?
Oh, gosh, about 10 years ago.
Okay, good. All right, fine. So, Zac Efron, rugby player, or wrong name during fuck?
Oh, this is hard. This is really hard.
So you're looking for the false, yeah?
Yeah.
We're looking for the lie.
I've changed my mind during this as well, after your questions, Pete. I'm going to go with two is a lie.
You're going to say rugby player's a lie. I'm going to say Zac Efron's a liar because you didn't, I don't know what you've done with him press junket wise, and I don't know, you didn't say where the hotel was, and I think you were very vague about my question, so I'm going to say Zac Efron.
I am delighted to say that I've hooked with you both, because the lie was saying my ex's name during sex.
What? Pachin, that's the first time ever.
So the person that sold us that she's no good at lying has just fucking done us, but get off my
phone.
Oh my god.
Nice.
I just need to ask some more questions then. Where the fuck was this Zac Efron
being? Zac fucking Efron.
Is he as short as what everyone says he is?
He is quite short, yeah. He was, I used to be an entertainment reporter for GMTV, and I interviewed him in a hotel doing a press junket. And right at the end, I mean, to be fair, it was a little bit of a joke because I was sort of playing it up for the camera, a bit like Alison Hammond does. And I was a bit like, oh, Zac. And then he was just like, would you like my number? Or can I have your number after this and I'll take you out for a drink after it's in London? I mean, I took it verbatim, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
And then his PRs were shooing me out afterwards. And I was like, no, I think he wants my number.
Zac!
I'm still running with that.
Amazing.
I should have known that because I knew you did that as well.
There you go. And yeah, I dated an England rugby player and I had no idea who he was.
I knew that was true because I think you told me that before. You've told me that drunk.
We met at a do, like way, I mean, this is literally years ago, like 18 years ago. And 15 years ago. And we met at a party just, how we met was a classic Anna. I'm always at a buffet. I'm always filling my face. I choked on something. And then I remember going at this buffet table. And then I felt this enormous, like, wallop on my back, and I kind of like spat out.
I wonder what you were going to say then. I was choking on something, and then I felt this enormous fucking hell. Anna, calm down. I know it's an uncensored radio show, but fucking slow yourself
don't
down.
Don't use that as a cliffhanger trailer.
That's the clickbait. We've got it.
Yeah, that's the clickbait. But yeah, it was him. Patting my back, and then you know we got chatting and. He was very nice, so we ended up going out and we'd gone out for a few dates, and then it wasn't till, I knew we played rugby, but he was quite self-deprecating, this is years ago, quite self-deprecating, and then it wasn't till we were out in restaurants and literally about eight people coming up for his autograph every 5 minutes, and I was like, who'd you play for again? Thinking it was like the local town, like Hartford Rugby Club or something. No, plays for England, and was probably one of the most famous tight head props ever. That'll be it.
Okay, all right, well,
very nice,
Anna, thank you so much for today. I absolutely love you and I miss you, and
can we
go for walks yet? Is it rule of six?
Yes, as of today, let's go for a walk with the peaches,
because you're only around the corner to me.
We do live very close, actually, yeah,
so we should have a little meet up, babe.
Let's do that. I really look forward to that. It'd be nice.
You can come as well. Why don't you come?
Thank you. I don't even know where you all are, but thank you.
Yeah, that would be lovely, actually.
We will make it happen. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll have a little walk together. We'll have a little coffee. Are we all fed up with walks and coffees at the moment? But you know what? We'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, the chances of me and you having a coffee and not a gin and tonic are slim, but yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, very slim, to be fair.
But yeah, thank you so much. Delightful as always. I love you and I miss you.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on. Much love.
Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.
Oh, I just want her in my life all the time.
Honestly, do you know what? I'm not just saying this. I know, you know, like when you do, and you'll know, when you do this kind of industry, you meet loads of different people and everyone goes, oh, yeah, I love them. I love them. Anna has become a really, really good friend of mine and I absolutely adore her. She's just got the most amazing energy and one of the loveliest people to be around, and she's always supportive and there for advice, and yeah, she's amazing.
I completely understand that. I feel upset that I've only just met her because she is just wonderful. My dress has come undone. I'm so excited to talk to Anna. My dress has come undone.
I mean, eight weeks and she's never got naked for me. Anna Williamson comes on and, you know what I mean? We've got a flash of a lilac bra.
I had my socks off the other day and now I've got my tits out. Anywho!
You're listening to FUBAR Radio with Tits Out Coleman and Pete Wicks.
Oh God, every week, honestly, I don't even mean to stitch myself up, but I actually do. And then Pete, you're just there to just catch me and just help me out.
I'm just here for it. Do you know what's funny about this week's show as well is we do this show every week. We're now 8 weeks in and we basically follow a bit of a running order of... We try and follow a running order and we generally try and, you know, timing wise, because we've got, you know, an hour for the show and all that sort of stuff. I've not fucking looked at it once today.
I think that's a good thing, because we've had such a good guest. Anna was brilliant. We've had such a good conversation. But I'm going to tell you what's next, Pete. Next is our favourite bit. Well, actually, no, I think Anna was our favourite bit today. Our second favourite bit is our listeners' questions and namaste stories.
Lovely.
Are we ready?
So, I'm excited about this. So this is a dating story from Chloe. And this is responding to a call out that we did on one of our previous shows with Russell Kane about love at first sight. We wanted someone to tell us if they had any genuine experiences mm-hmm. and success stories of love at first sight, because Cece and I are pessimistic bastards and think it's all a load of shit. So let's hope Chloe is going to give us the fairy tale.
Hi, I'm Chloe Tomlin and I have experienced love at first sight. It happened last year and we'd been chatting on a dating app, a very well-known dating app, and the moment I laid eyes on him, I knew immediately and we just clicked, and that was that. And we were together for a little while and then I found out that he was actually in love with his best friend, who he worked with and had been for 3 years, who was also blonde with blue eyes and looks a little bit like me. So suffice to say, it didn't last too long, but my goodness, I was very much swept off my feet. He was tall, dark and handsome, and it's such a shame it didn't go anywhere.
Right, do you know what, Cece, before you start, I watched your face whilst listening to that.
Yeah.
And I automatically, because we are the best friends that anyone could ever have, know exactly what you're thinking. So take it away for us.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying not to throw my pen down, but my pen just keeps dropping because it's like, no, hun, I'm really sorry, but you just really, really fancied him and really probably enjoyed the sex, and it's probably the best sex you've ever had. And then I still don't believe it. I'm sorry. Okay, do you know what? I take it back. Everyone has their own opinions. I'm not convinced. That story has not convinced me. Pete, how'd you feel?
Oh, the disappointment in that, Pete.
I'm upset. How'd you feel?
Do you know what, Chloe? I echo Cece. Everyone has their opinion, but you fucked that. absolutely fucked it. We were hoping for a fairy tale, and what we got was, as soon as you went with, we were together for a couple of months. Now, love, what I want, right, for anyone listening, what I want is someone to say, I fell in love at first sight. I've been married for fucking 20 years and I love him more and more every single day. And I knew he was the one for me from day one. Not, I fell in love with someone, fucked him for a couple of months. Then we split up because he loved someone else who looked like me. That's not love at first sight. That's a good couple of months. And that is basically every relationship I've ever had.
You know, I got goose pimples at the part where you said, oh, I've still got them now, that you met first, and you met and then you fell in love and then you've been together for 20 years. Like, that is just so beautiful, isn't it?
But that's the fairy tale kind of thing that I think love at first sight is. And like I said, or when we discussed it on the show, that is what love at first sight is to me. That is what I believe it is. Does it exist? I don't know, and I've never heard of it, and I've never seen it, and I've never... That's why we had a call out for people. Not you, Chloe, with your fucking three-month fuckathon, all right? That doesn't mean shit to us. So if anyone can do better than Chloe's 3 months with some geezer she fancies, then that would be great, because I'm looking for... I fell in love with him when I saw him, or I fell in love with her when I saw her, and I just love her more and more every day, and I want to spend the rest of my life together, and we're going to have kids together, and we're going to die together, and we're going to hold hands as we die together, and we're going to do all that sort of stuff. That is
arms going, head going, everything going. Yeah.
We want, me and Cece, give us the butterflies. Chloe, thank you for responding though.
Yeah, thanks Claire, and sorry about that. We'll try not to be as mean to the next person. From Claire, sorry Claire, she's
the best. Have a good weekend
now.
Chloe. Love you, bye.
So this is from Claire. So my husband and I met, my husband and I met in a dodgy club in 1993. We are still together, so I'm going to say it was love. I have taken a friend out for a night as she had broken up with her boyfriend and wanted to just dance the night away. No, that one. Back then, we were both young and beautiful, so got the odd offer of a smooch. Love it. But all turned down. We turned them all down. I can't read this. My contact lens has gone funny. The one guy that didn't get the message, he was harassing my friend and I wasn't sure what to do. From nowhere, two arms hugged me from behind and a tall, dark stranger rescued my friend. The guys had seen our predicament and come to help. They were soldiers at the base opposite the club, just out for a quiet pint or two. Oh my God, this goes on. Sorry, my contact lenses are literally going absolutely batshit. I feel like I need to open this up. Can you carry on reading it?
I can carry on. So, pretending we were all together gave us the freedom to have a wonderful night. It shouldn't be that way, of course, but I was impressed by them. The more we talked, the more I liked my man. Oh. We talked for most of the night until I had to drive us home. I gave him my number, not expecting a call. He called exactly when he said he would, even though in the old days before mobile phones, he'd had to walk in the pouring rain to the payphone. I liked that he was honest, reliable and thoughtful. It was December and he was off home on leave. His family didn't have a phone at home either. So he'd call me every day from a payphone or from his aunt's house. He's always said it must have been love. There were easier ways to deal with lust. We didn't see each other for a few weeks. Our first actual date was a friend's birthday party. He didn't drive, so I picked him up that night. The birthday girl, admittedly quite drunk, told us we were meant for each other and would get married. She was right. I went off to university. We got engaged just before I left for London. He was posted to Cambridge and came down on the train any weekends he could. We got married the summer. I finished my degree in 1997. Still going strong despite wars, pain, loss. Our song is Madness. It must be love. Because it must be, there's no other explanation. Well, do you know what? Fucking Claire, you have just rescued love at first sight.
Thank God for Claire.
I'm not exaggerating. I was reading that out and I don't know if you can see.
I've got
some goosebumps there. The payphone, right.
So romantic, take it back. Even look, the hair swing's coming in. Pete's hair's getting all over the shop.
I just love it. Do you know what? That is what I wanted.
Look at state of me now. Claire, thank you. Thank you for doing that. That is just, and I love that she said that, you know, the ups and downs, what they've been through, losses, and that is what brings people together, the strength. If you can get through that, all that shit and still come back together. Oh, Claire.
And do you know what? There's a lot of people that kind of, you can grow to love and all that sort of stuff, which I don't believe is love at first sight. But the reason this sounds fairy tale is it's like a hero's come when a hero comes along.
Yeah,
you know, he's rescued her that night, the everyday call in from the payphone and all that stuff before they'd had that first proper date, and then the friends saying they'd get married. This is the kind of story we were looking for.
Yeah.
Do I believe in love at first sight now? No, but I do love that story.
I know, Claire, thank you. But yeah, I'm still on the fence. Do you know, I'm on the fence.
Do you know what? I'm going to agree with that one. I think that to me is the closest I've heard to love at first sight. And it sounded like a love at first sight story, just because there was obstacles in the way, different things, and it overcame from that one. And that to me does sound like a potential love at first sight.
Claire, thank you. That's helped us.
We love that. And you know what? It must be love.
Love.
Nothing less.
Love is the best.
We need to stop singing on the radio show because we can't fucking sing. So, listen, what have we learnt today, Cece? We have learned that first impressions are unbelievably important. I completely thought they were before this conversation. Anna has reiterated it for me. Yeah. But what we have learned is that first impressions is just be yourself, be authentic,
be
and be honest.
Own you. Be you and own it. Fuck it.
That was Anna's advice, and we completely adhere to that. So thank you so much to Anna. Remember, guys, to download the app and listen each week and follow us on social media. We're at FUBAR Radio on all platforms. We love you listening. We love doing it. Cece can't dance, neither can I. She can't fucking sing, neither can I. But thank you for being here with us every Friday.
Thank you so much. And please send in your stories. We love them. Sorry if we completely dissed you, but we still love them anyway. So send them in. Love stories, anything, date stories, questions. We love the old agony aunt. So send them in. Namaste. That's what
Namaste.
Everybody
needs.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste. Do you know what we're doing now, Cece? We're doing that thing where people won't put the phone down. Bye then. Bye. 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 Bye, guys. See you later. Let's do it. Fucking hell.